Mataji, Prabhuji, join. Hare Krishna, I welcome everybody to Bhakti Sangha Chepa conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Keshavananda Prabhuji to enlighten us on topic Glories of Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Guru Maharaj ki jai. Thank you, Prabhuji, for joining and giving your valuable time and association this morning. We are very fortunate to have you on the call. Before I hand over the call to Keshavananda Prabhuji, I would hand over the call to Praveen Govind Prabhu for giving small introduction about Prabhu. Hare Krishna, Praveen Govind Prabhu, please take over the call. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Danrat Pranam to all devotees on the call, and Danrat Pranam Keshavan Prabhuji. So Keshavan Prabhu is a professional doctor and a monk, and since the last many years, over 20 years, he has been conducting extensive research, and he has authored many books in the field of science and spirituality. And he personally feels that there is a rift between science and spirituality that must disappear to bring peace in the world and spirituality. He believes that if spirituality is a superstition and a myth, science is materialistic and atheistic. And a new approach to life is needed today that can bring the best in both. Science must re-embrace spirituality and be humble to admit its defects, flaws, and ignorance. And spirituality must base itself on sound, scientific, and rational ideas. So Dr. Keshavan Prabhu has founded a new approach in Sanskrit sutras of the Vedas and the Bhagavad Gita, for decoding the Sanskrit sutras and the Vedas and the Bhagavad Gita. He studied Sanskrit in Western and Indian philosophy. Besides Sanskrit, he also learned Bengali, Gujarati, Marathi, and Kannada to know about the other traditions. His persistent endeavor in the field of science and spirituality has enabled him to come up with seminars on diverse topics like science and the Vedas, mind and machines, science fails to explain life, consciousness and beyond, etc. And he has presented many seminars in India, Europe, and America. Under the guidance of his spiritual master, His Holiness Bhakti Vikas Swami Maharaj, he has also started a Gurukula in traditional system of Vedic education in Punjab, India, which is Rajpura, where he has his ashram called Badrik Ashrams. The community has traditional way of living with mud huts and thatched roofs with cows, and of course farming. The community is a model for the world to show how to live a life based on principle of simple living and high thinking. So I'll hand over the call to Keshavan Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Yeah, you can hear me, Praveen?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Okay, fine. Let's see. Okay, I'll speak on. Forget it. This is done. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. I'll just open this recording and then just see what to do. Okay. Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaurvani Pracharin Nirvisheshana Vadi Vaishatishtha. I think I got to speak on Gaur Kishore Das Babaji. That's what the topic is. And I'll just begin with that. I think that pranam mantra of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji. Namo Gaura Kishoraya Sakshat Vairagya Murte Viprilambhar Sambhude Padam Bhujayate Namo. That's the pranam mantra of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji. I think that's the mantra, yeah. I think so. Isn't it, anybody? Vipralambara Sambodhya Padambu Jayate Namah.
Yes, Prabhuji.
Yeah, I think this is the one. So, this is how we offer pranams to Gaur Kishore Das Babaji. And this pranam mantra, it speaks for itself. Everything. Who is this personality? And how great is this personality, in spite of the fact that his greatness was not perceived by many people when he was alive, except probably few of them, like Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Bhakti Vinod Thakur. He could understand, they could understand, and some others. But otherwise, these people, I mean, say Bhajanandis, they just go unnoticed. But they preach by their actions. Now, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, who was he and what are his pastimes? That's what we are going to discuss today. Today is Ekadashi and Kartik Ekadashi. And we are celebrating festival for him today. So who is he? Namo Gaura Kishoraya. Now this name itself is quite interesting because Kishore. Now, if you think about this name, Gaura means Lord Chaitanya. And Kishore means what? Now, that's the trick there. What is the meaning of Kishore? Kishore might mean Krishna in Kishore Avastha, just like we say Kishore, Kishori in Vrindavan. In Nimbark Sampradaya, they like to call Krishna as Kishore, Kishori. So Kishore means a young boy, Kishori means a young girl. In that sense, from 11 to 15 years age. In fact, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was he? I think he was Raghupati Upadhyay. When Mahaprabhu went to Vrindavan and he asked him, can you summarize Krishna in just one verse? And he said, yes. And he said, so in that verse, he said, the best place is Madhupuri. So Madhupuri means Mathura. Or it might also mean Vrindavan. Madhupuri. Madhu means nectar. Puri means place. A place which is full of nectar. That is Vrindavan. The best place is Madhupuri. The best age of Krishna is Kishore Avastha. That is 11 to 15 years of age. Because in that age, he experiences sweetness of unparalleled excellence. That's the age. And that is why all Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas like to worship Krishna in his Kishore Avastha. Because after 15 years, he goes to Mathura and Dwarka, which is actually Yauvan Avastha. But the whole point is, of course, when he goes to Mathura and Dwarka, Krishna is always sweet. Madhuram, Madhuram. So what's that? So Vallabhacharya's song. Venu Madhuro, Hasitam Madhuram. Vichi Madhuram, Pani Madhuram, Chalitam Madhuram. Everything is sweet. But his sweetness in Vrindavan is expressed to a very large extent, much more than Dwarka and Mathura. And even in Vrindavan pastimes, when he is with Radharani, that expresses Krishna's sweetness to the ultimate extent. And Krishna also experiences sweetness to the highest degree. That's what the pastime of Radha and Krishna is there. And that's why Kishore Avastha is the age which is worshipable for Gaudiya Vaishnavas. We Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we generally don't like to worship Laddu Gopal, a small Krishna, baby Krishna. That's not our thing because baby Krishna cannot be with Radharani. That's not the point there. So Radha and Krishna are there together, and they worship together when they are in youth, because that's the time they can interact and they can have their pastimes. That's the idea there. So I was telling Kishore in Gaur Kishore might mean this Krishna and Kishore Avastha, and Gaura means Lord Chaitanya. That's one way to see this name, Gaura Kishore. Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, who is a servant. Das means servant of Lord Chaitanya, who is none other than Lord Krishna in combined form. Kishore Krishna with Radha, and that is Lord Chaitanya. So this is Gaur Kishore Das. Another meaning can be Kishore might also mean, according to some people, Gaur Kishore. Gaura means Lord Chaitanya, Kishore means youth. When Lord Chaitanya is in youthful age, when he's a youth, that's Gaur Kishore. Chaitanya in youth. So what kind of pastimes comes to our mind when we think of Lord Chaitanya as a youth? Well, his pastimes of Navdeep, and also his pastimes after sannyas to a certain degree. But actually, his pastimes of Navdeep, when he's from 11 to 15 years old, he's in Navdeep, he's playing with his friends on the bank of Ganges. And he so he had a debate with Keshav Kashmiri, and so many pastimes of Navdeep. So that's Gaur Kishore. That can be okay. He is a servant of that Mahaprabhu who is having his pastimes in Navdeep from 11 to 15 years of age. Yeah, that's fine. That's one of the meaning. That's okay. One of the meaning which should not be given to this name is Gaur Kishore. One of the meaning of this name is there are some sects in Mayapur and Bengal by the name as Nadia Nagari. Yeah, that's the name. They are one of the upper Sampradaya people, Nagari, Nadia Nagari, who are found in Sri Kanta. So they generally like to view Lord Chaitanya as a Kishore Avastha, and they think that Lord Chaitanya was actually having Ras Leela with many women of Navdeep and Mayapur, just like Krishna was having. Now that's really crazy philosophy. But well, these upper Sampradaya people, these Nadia Nagari people, who even today you can find them in Sri Kanta, where Nari Sarkar Thakur was there from that place. So they believe in this philosophy. So according to them, Lord Chaitanya had a relationship with Vishnu Priya and Lakshmi Priya as husband and wife. But actually, this is completely wrong. Bhakti Sanatana Thakur, he then later countered this philosophy very ferociously. And he said, no, Vishnu Priya and Lakshmi Priya are not wife of Lord Chaitanya. Internally, externally they are. But internally they didn't have the mood of wife, because Lord Chaitanya is not Krishna. Lord Chaitanya is Radha Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya is Radha Krishna. Krishna is enjoying his pleasures, his sweetness of Radha Rani. That is Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And Vishnu Priya and Lakshmi Priya, they are Lakshmi, who have come to serve Radha and Krishna. They are not in a conjugal mood with Lord Chaitanya. And he just blasted these actually Nadia Nagari people. And actually these Nadia Nagari people, they used to publish a magazine, Vishnu Priya magazine, in the time of Bhakti Sanatana Thakur. So in that magazine, this magazine was actually circulated by most of these caste Goswamis of Kharda, of Nityanand Parivar, and of Sri Khanda, of Narisarga Thakur Parivar, combined. And they were very influential people, but Bhakti Santa, he just smashed them. And in Yog Peeth, that's why he installed Lord Chaitanya with Vishnu Priya and Lakshmi Priya. Even if you go today in Yog Peeth, in the side altar, there's Radha Krishna. So there are three altars, just like in Vrindavan, Radha Shyam Sundar, Gaurnitha, and Krishna Balram. So where Krishna Balram is there, in the between, there in Yog Peeth, you have Gauranga Mahaprabhu, Vishnu Priya, and Lakshmi Priya. And on the Gaurnitha side of Krishna Balram temple, on the left hand side, you have Radha Krishna Ditis, and on the right hand side, you have Panchatattva. So why did he do that? So he said, I want to show these Sahijiyas, Nadia Nagari people, that Gauranga Mahaprabhu is not Kishore. He is not having a mood of Kishore. He's not having a conjugal mood. He's not in that mood. In Navadeep, in relationship to actually other people, that conjugal mood is within him. That's another topic. Krishna is enjoying with Radharani within himself. But externally, it's not like that. And Vishnu Priya and Lakshmi Priya are servants of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. They are in Dasya Bhav with Gauranga Mahaprabhu and not in Madhurya Bhav. So he did that. So that meaning we should not take of Gaur Kishore. Of course, if you might tell this meaning in Sri Khanda today with Nadia Nagari people, they will be very happy. They'll say, oh yeah, this is a true meaning of Gaur Kishore. And that's not the point. So who is actually Gaur Kishore Das Babaji? This is the meaning of the name. But who is he? Well, he, if you read his biography, you will find that he belonged from East Bengal, from Bangladesh. There's a place called as Faridpur. In 1830, he was born there. He appeared, let's not say born, because these are perfected souls. He appeared there. And he was actually a married person, by the way. If you might be surprised to hear this, he was a married man. He was not renunciate the whole his life. Namo Gauranga Kishoraya Sakshat Vairagya Murtine. He was an embodiment of renunciation, but he was not lifelong celibate. He was married. At a particular point of time, it is said his wife died. I mean, he was married and he was also doing the business. Some small business he was doing in Faridpur. You can imagine Gaur Kishore Das Babaji doing the business with the wife. It seems strange when you think about it. But he was doing, and then I think his wife died, and then he went to Vrindavan. And in Vrindavan, he took initiation from Bhagavad Das Babaji. Now, who was Bhagavad Das Babaji? Bhagavad Das Babaji was a disciple of Jagannath Das Babaji. Bhagavad Das Babaji was a disciple of Jagannath Das Babaji. Well, but if you see our parampara, which what Prabhupada has printed in Bhagavad Gita, so just after introduction, just before starting, just before chapter 1, if you see that parampara, you will find that that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you will find Jagannath Das Babaji, then Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and then Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, then Bhakti Siddhanta, and then Srila Prabhupada. So you might think, what's happening? Jagannath Das Babaji, after Jagannath Das Babaji comes Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And then comes Gaukeshwara Babaji. But Gaukeshwara Babaji is not disciple of Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Gaukeshwara Babaji is a disciple of Bhagavad Das Babaji, who is a disciple of Jagannath Das Babaji. But as you might have heard, our parampara is Shiksha Parampara and not exactly a Diksha Parampara. So Bhagavad Das Babaji is not included. Rather, Bhakti Vinod Thakur is included because Jagannath Das Babaji's Shiksha disciple was Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Bhakti Vinod Thakur considered himself he considered himself disciple of Jagannath Das Babaji because in later past times, when he was very old, he took actually Babaji Diksha from Jagannath Das Babaji. So he became his disciple, Shiksha Babaji disciple. And then Gaukeshwara Babaji, he used to consider Bhakti Vinod Thakur as his Shiksha Guru. So in the sense that Gaukeshwara Babaji used to daily come to Swanand Sugdha Kunj, where Bhakti Vinod Thakur used to live in Navadeep. So we all know Swanand Sugdha Kunj was a house constructed by Bhakti Vinod Thakur in Godrum Dweep. Today, if you go to ISKCON, ISKCON is on Antar Dweep. So we all go to Mayapur. So we catch a boat, isn't it? We go to station, then we take rickshaw, and then we go to Ganges Bank. So that Dweep where we are dropped by the train, that is, yeah, Hare Krishna. So that is Kulia Gram. But then you cross the Ganges and then you go to ISKCON. That dweep is Antar Dweep. But then on the other side of Antar Dweep, so when you cross the river, not Ganges, but another branch which is coming and actually joining Ganges, which is actually Jalangi River. If you cross that, then you go to Godrum Dweep, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Swanand Sugdha Kunj is there. And there he used to recite Bhagavatam, and Gaukeshwara Babaji used to come and hear that Bhagavatam. And of course, Vimal Prasad was there sitting, small boy. He used to hear his father reciting. And they were very happy. So Gaukeshwara Babaji is a Shiksha disciple. He used to consider Bhakti Vinod Thakur a Shiksha Guru. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur is again a Diksha disciple and Shiksha disciple, and yeah, of course, Diksha disciple of Gaukeshwara Babaji, and also Shiksha because Bhakti Saraswati Thakur he said that whatever I'm preaching, so he gave example that you see in your house, you might see tube lights, bulb, fan, AC, fridge, heater. And all are powered by electricity. So you can see all these things. You can also see electricity, but you cannot see from where it is generated. Electricity generated in a powerhouse, which is miles away from your house. And from the electricity is transmitted, and then all these appliances you can work. But you never think about the source, isn't it? We never think about powerhouse. I mean, to send it unless your electricity is off, or maybe there are cuts, regular cuts. But in America, you don't realize that. So nobody thinks about that. So nobody can see that because it's miles away. So Bhagavan said, similarly, my powerhouse is Gaukeshwara Das Babaji. He actually reduced my false ego. He crushed my false ego. I used to think, I am a great philosophical scholar. I'm a scholar in philosophy. I am a great mathematician. I am a great astrologer. I am very aristocratic, knowledgeable, respected by everybody. And Gaukeshwara Babaji said, I'll not initiate you. I'm going to initiate you. I'll ask Mahaprabhu. And he rejected him twice, thrice. And everybody in Navadvip and Mayapur wanted to make Bhakti Siddhanta their disciple. Because people were thinking, if we can get Bhakti Siddhanta as disciple, this kind of person of this caliber, well, our math will go from A to Z. Our math will rise like anything. He will be our man. And so, by God's help, I'll ask Mahaprabhu. He crushed Bhakti Siddhanta in his humility. He said this. So he said, everything what I own is inspired by God's Babaji. He's my powerhouse. So in that sense, you see, he was his Shiksha Guru. And Diksha Guru as well. So our parampara is like that. But the point I'm bringing is that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is not just included in our sampradaya, just as Shiksha, disciple of Jagannath Das Babaji. He's also linked to our sampradaya through Diksha also, because we know Bhaktivinoda Thakur's guru, Diksha Guru, was actually Vipin Bihari Goswami. And Vipin Bihari Goswami, he was in the line of Nityananda Prabhu. So it's connected from the other way. There's some other connection with the sampradaya through Diksha. But that connection we don't like to speak of, because we are focusing on the Shiksha connection. It's not that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is not connected to our sampradaya. He's connected, but that Diksha connection we don't give so importance as Shiksha connection. Until unless Diksha connection also is giving Shiksha. That's another thing. Just like Gaura Goswami Babaji is both Shiksha and Diksha, disciple of Bhakti Siddhanta. So that's Gaura Goswami Das Babaji. His guru was Bhagavad Das Babaji, Diksha Guru. And Bhagavad Das Babaji, Diksha Guru is Jagannath Das Babaji. And Jagannath Das Babaji's Diksha Guru was actually Madhusudan Das Babaji. Madhusudan Das Babaji was living in Vrindavan. Madhusudan Das Babaji is called as Siddha Baba of Surekund. Even if you today you go to Surekund in Vrindavan, near Radhakund and Shyamkund, you will find everybody talking about him. And there is also Samadhi of Madhusudan Das Babaji. Many people even today go and have darshan. He was very famous in Vrindavan, Madhusudan Das Babaji. And Madhusudan Das Babaji's guru was Uddhav Das Babaji, Diksha Guru. And Uddhav Das Babaji's Diksha Guru was again Uddhav Das Babaji, same name. And then Uddhav Das Babaji's Maharaj Guru was Baldev Vidya Bhushan, that we know. So it seems, so you see the point. This is a line of Babaji's there. But that doesn't mean that Babaji's were not preachers. Some of them were preachers, some of them were not preachers. Gaura Goswami Das Babaji was not a Ghoshtanandi. He was a Bhajanandi. Uddhav Das Babaji, he was a Bhajanandi. Madhusudan Das Babaji, he was a Bhajanandi. Jagannath Das Babaji, he was a Ghoshtanandi. Ghoshtanandi means a preacher. Ghoshta. Ghoshta means Ghoshna. To announce. Bhajanandi means bhajan. They don't really preach. And Baldev Vidya Bhushan, he was a Babaji. Because in Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, there is as Babaji, Bhish. Bhakti Santa introduced sannyas, varnashram process. So, but then he was a preacher. He was a Ghoshtanandi. So, Gaura Goswami Babaji, that's his line in our Sampradaya. And he was Sakshat Vairagya Murtina in Vrindavan. So after he left his family, his wife died. Him from Faridpur, he just went to Vrindavan. There, he took initiation and then he spent 32 years in Vrindavan. That's too much time, 32 years. Doing what? Simply chanting the holy names of Lord. He was chanting 2 lakh names daily, 2 lakh or sometimes even 3 lakh names, like Haridas Thakur. He was staying just like Goswami. He used to stay one night in under one tree, another night in another tree. And he used to simply eat some flat rice soaked in water, or maybe sometimes just an eggplant, raw eggplant, or maybe sometimes just dust from Radha Kunsham Kunda, or dust of Vrindavan. That's all. He never used to accept any foodstuffs from anybody. That was not his style. He used to wear some for clothing. He used to just take some clothes lying here and there. Or better, he used to go to Shamshan Ghat. Shamshan Ghat means what? A graveyard. He used to go to graveyard. And there he used to just pick up clothes of some corpses there. If some corpses burned and some clothes lying there, here and there, he used to pick up and just wash it and just wear. That's the level of renunciation he had. Sakshat Vairagya Murtinam. That's the level of renunciation he had. You can imagine, that's why it is said Sakshat Vairagya Murtinam. It's not just flattery that it is said. No, it's just a poetic expression. No, it was a real expression. In fact, I just forgot to tell you, his name before he was initiated was actually Vamshidas. But this Vamshidas is not Vamshidas Babaji, what we hear. It is, his name was Vamshidas, but then Vamshidas was also a good name. He could have got the name Vamshidas as well. Same name continued. But anyway, he got Gaur Kishore Das Babaji. Gaur Kishore Das Babaji is quite interesting name because Gaur Kishore Babaji, after 32 years of his service in Vrindavan, he was actually instructed by Radha, Srimati Radharani, to go to Navadvip. And since he knew that Navadvip and Vrindavan are not different, in fact, Navadvip is a portal to Vrindavan, to enter Vrindavan, so he shifted to Navadvip. So half of the life he spent in Navadvip, half the life in Vrindavan. And that was quite interesting. And that's where probably Gaur Kishore. Kishore means Krishna. He spent his time with Kishore Kishori in Vrindavan. And then Gaurang Mahaprabhu in Navadvip, Gaur Kishore, like that. So, 1860, like that, yeah. So, Vrindavan pastimes, there's not much record there. We don't have a historical record there. But his Navadvip pastimes are recorded, especially by the disciples of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. They recorded his pastimes, meticulously collected, recorded, published, and also had blessings of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disciples. So when Gaur Kishore Das Babaji came to Navadvip, Bhakti Thakur asked Bhakti Siddhanta to take initiation from Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, because he said, I'm your father, I don't want to give you initiation. Although for all practical purposes, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was actually Shiksha Guru and Diksha Guru and everything for Bhakti Siddhanta. Bhakti Siddhanta said, I learned everything from my father. It's actually Bhaktivinoda Thakur. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, you take initiation from Gaur Kishore Babaji because that's a trend in Navadvip Mayapur. That all caste Goswamis, they give Diksha to their son and their son continues the legacy and they give Diksha to their son. And we are preaching against that system. And if we do the same thing, that will be a problem. So probably Bhaktivinoda Thakur thought about it and he said, well, they can take Diksha from Gaur Kishore Babaji. He's also a perfected soul. And that way, the very action of taking Diksha from Gaur Kishore Babaji, it will also help to counter this caste Goswami system. So that very act of initiation will also become an act of preaching. Preaching, Pashandadalam, cutting wrong conceptions. So he took that. Gaur Kishore Das Babaji's relationship with Bhakti Siddhanta was very unique because Because whenever Bhaktisandha used to come and to meet Gaurav Sagarabhaji and also take blessings, Gaurav Sagarabhaji, whenever he used to see Bhaktisandha, he used to say, "Oh, Manjari is coming. Manjari is coming." And he used to clap and he used to become very happy and he used to say, "So Radha might be behind him." That was he. Radha will be soon coming. That was the relationship between Bhaktisiddhanta and actually Gaurav Sagarabhaji. Once he went blind. Going to say after some time he went blind because of his strict austerities and of course some of his pastimes. Because of his not eating and all these things. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur requested him that he should take some treatment for his blindness. He said, "Well, what's the use of getting these eyes? Anyway, I don't want to see all these nonsense materialistic people who actually smell like stools. I don't want to see their faces. it doesn't matter. I don't have eyes. I have my internal eyes by which I can see Krishna and Radha always." But anyway, Bhaktivinoda Thakur requested a lot and he said, "Well, you can go to Calcutta. We can arrange. There you can get some treatment. And your eyesight can come back. And if you feel it," so Gaurav said, "I'll never go in that city of illusion, that Maya Nagari. I'll never go there." But then Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, "You see, don't worry about that. My son, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he will personally accompany you and arrange for everything, for treatment. And you should not worry about that." Gaurav Sagarabhaji said, "Well, this is the worst idea you could have said because I will die, but I will not take service from Prabhu." He used to call Saraswati Thakur as Prabhu, although Saraswati Thakur, he was his disciple, but he used to call him as Prabhu. That's right. You see, that is Vaishnavism. Even spiritual, he didn't used to think, "I am the spiritual martyr." He was thinking, I'm the servant of this great personality. And Bhaktisiddhanta was thinking, I'm not even the dust of Gaurav Sagarabhaji. Even Krishna will carry, will like to carry this great personality on his head. Who am I? That's the relationship, reciprocal relationship. So Gaurav Sagarabhaji said, "I don't want to take service from Prabhu." And he said, "Better I die drowning in Ganges rather than taking service from this great Vaishnava." But then he said, no, wait. So if I drown in Ganges, I become a ghost. So let me drown in Saraswati. So we all know Jalangi River near Godrum Deep, that is actually Gupta Saraswati. So he started running towards Saraswati, towards Jalangi. And Bhaktisiddhanta was running behind him and he was actually dissuading him, "Please stop, don't do this. Just went and jumped in Jalangi. What could anybody vanish? And then after 3 days he appeared. And he said, "Well, I can't attain Krishna by killing myself. That's not the process Mahaprabhu has taught. And I didn't find Krishna anywhere. Even below Saraswati, even inside Saraswati, he was there sitting inside Saraswati for 40 days. I don't know how he was sitting, who knows. Sakshat Vairagya Murtina, you can imagine. This is the word, Sakshat Vairagya Murtina. He was even unattached to his own life. He just jumped in Saraswati. He said, "Better I die rather than taking service from Vaishnavas." And he just jumped, that's all. He didn't think twice. What he said, he meant. Sakshat Vairagya Murtina. Detached from his life even. And after 40 days, he came. He said, "Well, I didn't find Krishna. I can't achieve Krishna through by killing myself. But I will never accept service from Prabhu." And he just went off. That's all. That was his pastime of Sakshat Vairagyamurti. And that was his connection with Bhakti Siddhanta. So in fact, Bhakti Chandra Saraswati Thakur, once he came to Gaurishwar Babaji and Gaurishwar asked Babaji, Gaurishwar Babaji told Bhakti Chandra that there is, I think Gaur Purnima was coming, and Bhakti Chandra Saraswati Thakur in his Gaudiya Math, he was arranging a big festival for Gaur Purnima, calling many people, and they have a feast and all these things. So he came to meet Gaurishwar Babaji. And Gaurishwar Babaji said to Bhakti Chandra, "Well, why do you want to arrange such big pandal programs? Why do you want to call so many people? Come here with me. Let us sit and celebrate the festival simply by chanting the holy names 24 hours. That was his style. People with him, they used to think, okay, today's festival time and we will celebrate. So just like we all think. Anyway, art is preaching mission, so we do that. But inside the heart, when his disciple, it is a preaching mission, and so we will celebrate, so some arrangements have to be made, so we need money. Or so he said, no, what? We'll do feasting on holy names. That's what his mood was. That is Sakshat Vairagya Murti. So he and Bhakti Chandra had such an intimate connection. In fact, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was a sole disciple of Gaurishwar Das Babaji, and he only understood, his heart. What does Gaurishwar Das Babaji meant by his speech? In fact, Gaurishwar Das Babaji once said to Bhakti Siddhanta that he should never go to Calcutta. That's Maya Nagari. So Bhakti Siddhanta, immediately the next day he went to Calcutta. And people were saying, what is this? You clearly defied his orders. Bhakti Chandra said, no, I'm actually fulfilling his orders. What he's saying, never go to Calcutta, it's Maya Nagari. That means it is very bad. It is hell. It is Maya Nagari. And people who are trapped in hell, we should save them. We can't lead them there. That's what he means. And Bhakti Chandra said, if I had to establish Gaudiya Math in the center of hell, I would have done that. Right in the center of hell. Right in the middle of hell. If I had a way to establish Gaudiya Math, I would have done that. And he did that. In Calcutta was like hell. Calcutta was the capital of British. It was the most advanced state at that time. Just like now, Delhi, Bombay, like that. At that time, Calcutta, even now today. So he established Gaudiya Math there in Ultadanga Road. So to save people. So you see that the point, he understood Gaurishwar Das Babaji. And Gaurishwar Das Babaji, he understood Bhakti Siddhanta. In fact, once Gaurishwar Das Babaji, He did his bhajan in a latrine, in a public toilet. He just went to the public toilet and did bhajan. So people asked him, what you're doing? And so many government officials, they came and they said, Babaji, we will construct another room for you. Please come out of this public toilet. It's so smelly. And the sweeper who came to actually clean public toilet, she saw it's closed. So she couldn't do anything. So she complained, and then these people came, and then they said, well, this smell of this stool is not so disgusting. I can tolerate that. Now you might be surprised what's happening. But he said, but my question is, how you all can tolerate the stink the stinking mentality of all the materialists with whom you are associating. That's much worse. I can't tolerate that. In fact, so one of the disciples of Bhakti Chanda, Giri Babu, he actually invited Gaurasoya Babaji to his house. And of course, Gaurasoya Babaji never used to go to any house, but somehow he acceded to his proposal and he went to his house in actually Navdeep. And but Gaurasoya Babaji said, well, I will stay in your toilet. So he said, no, Gaurasoya Babaji, what is this? They tried to persuade him. But he said, no, if I come, I'll stay in your toilet. So they cleaned his toilet, their toilet, and he stayed there. This is called Sakshat Vairagya Murti. He's not even interested in good room or good nothing. He knows that this material world is a stool. He knows material world is a stool. So if the material world is a stool, then what's the problem of living in toilet? You see, Sakshat Vairagya Murti. That was he. So that was the relationship between him and Bhakti Siddhanta. That's a sweet relationship. And if we just meditate on relationship between him and Bhakti Siddhanta, that's even so much instructing to all of us. This is a true disciple who understands what his spiritual master wants and then fulfills that. In fact, once Gaurasoya Babaji said to Bhakti Siddhanta that why you're building so many Gaudiya Math, big buildings, come here and chant with me, that's all. So Bhakti Siddhanta told Gaurasoya Babaji, do you think I'm doing something wrong? I'm building all these mats so that people can come to the shelter of Lord Nityananda and Gauranga. And they are not ready to actually chant 3 lakh names, 2 lakh names, or even 1 lakh name. They're not ready. They're not even pure. So I'm giving them the service of deities in the mat. And so that they can be purified and they can then surrender themselves to holy name. So Gaurasoya Babaji, he didn't say anything to this point. He just kept quiet. And then Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he went away. Then when he came the next time, then Gaurasoya Babaji shouted, oh, Nityanand, more Nitai is coming. Because Nityananda is a Nityananda Prabhu, he is the original guru, original preacher. So Gaurasoya Babaji actually affirmed what Bhakti Siddhanta was doing. In fact, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, once he was giving lecture in Mayapur, and he saw Gaurasoya, and he was actually glorifying Mahaprabhu Nityananda and even Gaurasoya Babaji. And suddenly he saw and Gaurasoya Babaji, he was standing there and listening to him and smiling. And then he asked Gaurasoya Babaji, how did you come here? I mean to say, so devotees told him that Gaurasoya Babaji has come, had arrived last night. So in the middle of the night, he had arrived around 2 a.m. around that. Bhakti Siddhanta said, how did you come? You are blind. You don't have eyes. And 2 o'clock in the night, where's the boat? And who actually assisted you from the ghat to Yogapit in that night? Because at that time, there were no roads and nothing. It was simply jungle. And he's blind man. So Gaurasoya Babaji said, well, somebody assisted me. That's all. He just smiled. Bhakti Siddhanta said, somebody? Who somebody? There's nobody at 2 o'clock in the night. And there's no boat. How do you come? So he said, well, somebody assisted me. Somebody caught hold of my hand. And just catching hold of his hand, I crossed the Ganges, walking. And came here. So Bhakti Siddhanta said, oh, so Krishna personally assisted you. And Gaurasoya Babaji said, yeah, somebody assisted me. That's how. That was a relationship between him and he understood what his spiritual master wanted. Bhakti Siddhanta was not a sentimental person. Oh Guru Maharaj, you are great. Oh Guru Maharaj, and then just offering some garlands, and that's okay. You can offer some garlands and some picture on your altar. You can do that, but that's not the point. point is to fulfill their desires at whatever level you are. We are not saying that you should fulfill desires of a spiritual master like Srila Prabhupada. That for a spiritual master, everybody cannot do like that. Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj from Gaudiya Math, somebody asked him, that Swami Maharaj has done so much preaching all around the world. And what about us? Now, ISKCON devotees are saying, Gaudiya Math, they simply ring their bells. So, Bhakti Sridhar Maharaj, he was a friend of Swami Maharaj. Swami Maharaj means Prabhupada. They call him Swami Maharaj. They don't call him Prabhupada because for them, Prabhupada is Bhakti Sarasasi Thakur. So Bhakti Sridhar Maharaj said, well, Swami Maharaj is like an ocean and we are like a pond. He is doing big, big things. And Bhakti Sridhar Maharaj, he said, we are glad. What he is doing, we are glad, we are happy, and we are proud. To hear this word from Bhakti Sridhar Maharaj, if you know who is he, his personality, and so to say we are proud, he would have never said this, but for Swami Maharaj he said, because he knew Prabhupada. He was his, Bhakti Sridhar Maharaj and Prabhupada, they had a very intimate connection, right from India. And even after when Prabhupada went to America, he wrote letters to him and Shabdakshi Maharaj, he encouraged Prabhupada, you stay there. In fact, that's another issue, but the whole point is, he said, we are glad, we are happy, we are proud of him. But he's like an ocean, we're like a small pond. So yeah, you can serve your spiritual master in whatever small little ways you can, but you have to fulfill their desire. That's the whole point. Some people can preach all around the world. Some people can preach to 2,000 people. Some people can preach to 100. Some people can preach to 10. Some people can preach to one person. But you got to preach because that's the desire of Guru. Guru is not a person, by the way. Guru is a person and not a person. Both. Veda Vetatva. Guru is a representative of Nityananda Prabhu and in ultimate sense representative of Srimati Radharani. So what's their desire? The desire is to please Krishna, Radha, and Nityananda Prabhu's desire is to actually glorify him all around the world, all around the universe. So that's sweet connection between Bhakti Santa didn't just come to Gaukshara Zabaji. Why I want to have your darshan, give me blessings, and all this cheap stuff. It's not there. This is all new devotees. Oh, Maharaj, we have come, give me blessings. We just came to see you. Come on, see. That was not Gaukshara Bhaji and Bhakti Siddhanta, by the way. Their connection, if you read their past text, their connection was always to based on Siddhanta and learn something and then apply that. Bhakti Siddhanta asked Gaukshara Babaji once about other Babajis of Vrindavan. And so he had a complete list of names of Babajis who were actually Siddha Purush in Vrindavan, so-called Siddha Purush. So he was asking Gaukshara Babaji, so what about this Siddha Purush? Gaukshara Babaji said, he's an imposter. What about this Siddha Purush? He's another imposter. What about this Siddha Purush? He's a charlatan. What about this Siddha Purush? He's in illicit sex. And Gaukshara Babaji always was laughing. He's nonsense. And then Gaukshara Babaji said, forget it. Everybody is a cheater in Vrindavan. That's Gaukshara Babaji. And Bhakti Siddhanta maintained that line of thought. When he was giving sermon in Radha Kund, where all these Babajis were there, and he said, all of them are neophytes and monkeys of Dhamma. Where other people were thinking they are Siddha Purush. You can imagine. Here Bhakti Sandhya Kaushal is saying they are like monkeys. Now, that's the line of thought. Now you might think, no, Vrindavan, Babaji's are great, we should not say like that. Well, then you are trying to be more smarter than Bhakti Siddhanta and Gaur Sevaji, okay. If you think you are more intelligent, then that's your problem. But that's not the line of thought of our Gaudiya Vaishnavism. These are all our charlatans. Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur, he went to Vrindavan and he said, Vrindavan is the worst place in the sense all our gundas here. Spoiled by them. Of course, at the same time, it's a holy place. So it can only be perceived by spiritual senses and not by material senses. That's the line of thought. That is Sakshat Vairagya Murti. That's God Sarasavaji. And Bhakti Santa believed him. He didn't argue with him. He believed him. And he passed this line of thought to Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada passed it to us. And that's why today's day is so important to actually meditate on what is the line of thought of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, which we have to maintain it now. Which we can't speculate and be sentimental and just keep on thinking whatever we want. Then we become disconnected from our sampradaya. I mean to say, you see, you can hear some lectures on Gaur Kishore Das Babaji today, even by some other devotees or somebody. But the whole idea is, if you simply hear stories, then it serves no purpose. You have to understand the purport of those stories and then apply in your life. I mean to say, what should we do with Gaur Kishore Das Babaji's life? Can we even follow one thing what he said? Even half a thing? Even quarter of a thing? He said, so one of the king and his wife, they sent a messenger to Gaur Kishore Das Babaji that you please come to a palace and you please sanctify this palace. Gaur Kishore Das Babaji said, I don't come and meet kings. They are nonsense. They are materialist. The king said, no. But then he told messenger, if he wants my suggestion, ask him to come to me. Leave all his palace and kings, come with me. I will arrange a cottage for him. Let him chant and I will chant and we will have nice time together. That was his response. So one of the landowner, he came to meet him to ask some very pertinent questions about Ramananda Rai and Mahaprabhu's discussion. The landowner and his friend, they came and met him. So Gaur Kishore Das Babaji said, to landowner's friend that you leave this rascal's association. Otherwise, you will never be able to enter Ramananda Rai's and Mahaprabhu's discussion. He could understand that the intention is useless because they were thinking we are scholars and we want to pose off. He was actually uncompromising and he spoke truth. He didn't mind whether he's speaking to a king, to a landowner. One person came, one Babaji arrived in Avadhi from Vrindavan, and he actually bought 3 acres of land from a queen of, local queen of Calcutta. He got 3 acres of land in Avadhi, and Babaji, Gaur Kishore Babaji said, what is this? You can't even buy 1 inch of land in Avadhi. This is Gaur Mahaprabhu's property. And what is Babaji doing? Is he servant of queen or Krishna? Has he sold his devotion to her and bought 3 acres of land in the lieu of it? He just spoke like that, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji. And one devotee was there who was listening to this, and he just left. He was like shocked, and he just left, and he never came back. After some months, he came back and he said, "You know, I was really afraid when he used these kind of words and." Your sharp word just pierced my heart. I was very afraid to come to you. So Arshavi said, well, sadhus, real sadhus have sharp words who cut all your attachments. That's a real sadhu. Of course, in modern world, when you preach, you have to really balance it out. Otherwise, who's going to hear you? At the same time, your message should be to the point. It should not be circling around some stories. That's not the point. Stories should not be in the center and message should not be revolving around. Message should be in the center and stories should be revolving around. That's the point. Message should be the center point. Story should be the circumference. But people do the other way around. People keep stories in the center point and message is evolving around in the circumference. And the circumference is so big that nobody ever saw that circumference. The circle is so big that you can't see the circumference. You can only see stories. Then what's the point of that? We have to imbibe their message. Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, he was actually, what is that? Anyway, I can just keep on speaking. Gaur Kishore Babaji. There are some pastimes more. There's not much pastimes of Gaur Kishore Babaji recorded, but there are some more pastimes. Most of the pastimes, his whole is Sakshat Vairagya Murti, no? Vipralambara Sambodhe, his whole, but we should not think that this renunciation of Gaur Kishore Babaji is an artificial renunciation. This renunciation is born of Vipralambara Sambodhe. Vipralamba. This is born of separation. Vipralamba means the love in separation. A deep attachment to Krishna. From where this renunciation is being born. It's not artificial. And Gaur Kishore Babaji was often found to sing this song, Kothai Go Prem Radhe, Kothai Go Prem Shri Radhe Radhe. He used to sing this, where is my love, beloved mistress, Srimati Radharani. He was found, and Bhakti Sandha actually noted this song in his diary. Now, what's happening? Well, he is so attached to Radha and Krishna that he's oblivious to his surroundings. That's what is happening. Vipralamba, he's feeling intense separation from them. So that's Vipralamba Rasambodhe. Ras means mellows, Ambodhi means ocean. He's floating in an ocean of separation from Radha and Krishna. He's floating in an ocean of separation. This is what is Gaur Kishore Das Babaji. Gaur Kishore Das Babaji. Gaurang Mahaprabhu means Sakshat Vairagya Murtine Gaura, who is himself Sanyas Shiromani. And Vipralamba Rasambodhe, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji. Padam Bujaya Tenam. I form a sexual love essences to them. So that is Gaur Kishore Babaji in his entire life. He's teaching us these two things. Always be detached from anything material, in your heart at least. The smell of stool should appear to you much better than smell of sense gratification. Of course, it is difficult to do, but that's how we have to flip our mind. That's how we have to flip our mind. Just like I was saying today to devotees, when you actually desire that somebody should criticize you, that's the day when you are nearing perfection. And you desire, just like now we desire that somebody should speak nice to us. At one point you will desire, oh, somebody should criticize me. It's such a long time nobody has criticized me. Nobody has said bad words to me. I'm so unfortunate that I am puffed up now, that I have forgotten nonsense. And you should actually desire that when somebody criticizes you. Yeah, this is what I wanted in my life because it's good for my soul. That's the idea. That is Sakshat Vairagya Murti ne. That is renunciation in your heart. We can't be like Gaur Kishore Babaji externally because we have to preach. So externally, you should be Bhakti Siddhanta or Srila Prabhupada. But internally, you should be like Gaur Kishore Das Babaji. And that's why they said externally you should be Goshtanandi, internally you should be Bhajanandi. That's how Gaurakshwara Babaji is preaching. He is not inactive Babaji and so what's the good? If somebody can say he's inactive, he's not contributing to Mahaprabhu's mission. No. He is contributing to Mahaprabhu's mission in the heart. In the heart, you should be like him. Externally, fine. We don't tell people that you stink, that you all stink. But in a heart, you should know. So that is Viplambara Sambhude Padambo Janate. That is Gaurakshwara Babaji. Some other pastimes you can always go and read on net. But most of them, I told you, the most important ones which we should know. And so today we can think about him. We can think how we can apply his teachings. Bhaktisandha said, you should always keep the spirit of renunciation in your heart. Sakshat vai rage murtine. Don't reveal it outside because that will hamper preaching mission. But at least keep in your heart, because if you don't keep Gaurakshwara as a Babaji, then you will never attain Bhakti Siddhanta. Bhakti Siddhanta is born of Gaurakshwara as Babaji. You will never understand him. Because without Gaurakshwara Babaji, if you try to understand Bhakti Siddhanta, then you just take the skin. Then you just take the skin of Bhakti Siddhanta and not the bone marrow, not the soul. Bhakti Siddhanta's soul is Gaurakshwara Babaji. That's his day. So we offer obeisances. And Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaurakshwara Das Babaji ki jai. Any questions anybody want to ask? That's you can ask me now. Okay, that's it.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu, Nana Pranam. Very nice, wonderful. So, Prabhu, whom did Gaurakshwara Das Babaji glorify within his lifetime?
Whom did he glorify?
Yes.
What do you mean by that?
Like, in your lecture, I heard that he did not like people and, people were stinking with material sense gratification and all. But therefore, would have been someone whom he appreciated or he... liked.
Of course. He appreciated Bhakti Siddhanta as Prabhu. Bhakti Vinod Thakur, he used to associate with them. Just two of them, that's all. And probably sometimes Jagannath Das Babaji, when he used to come to Navdeep. And also in Navdeep, there was some, I think Bhagavad Das Babaji, he also came to Navdeep later then. Yes, that's all. That's all. Otherwise, nobody else. He said everybody are nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. So, whoever came to him, he instructed them nicely. But if he found their intention is wrong, he used to abuse them and just shoo them off. And he was very careful of illusions. So once he was taking prasad and one snake came beside him, very near to him, and he was just about to bite him. And one old female, she just saw that. And she said, so Babaji, there's a snake. But Babaji said, you first go away. You are a snake to me. He says, get out from here. She was shouting, no, Babaji, snake. He said, I'll not honor prasad. I'll not get up. You just get out. And she went, and then the snake also went after her. And then he took prasad. He was not afraid, and snake just went. So then he told his followers, "You see how Maya works? Maya comes in the form of compassion to help you, and then you fall into illusion by thinking that somebody in this world, at least somebody in the world, is there to take care of me." You see, such a deep insight. So he said, this was illusion, because you should never think that anybody is taking care of us except Krishna. This spoils the mood of devotion. So now what do you say about that?
Hari Bol.
Oh, Hari, yeah. So it's like you see the point. It's funny, but it's like this. But that's my point. You see, in preaching, we don't do like that. If some Mataji comes, we will not tell her, get out from here. So I also don't even do like that. We don't do like that. But at the same time, a heart should have these kind of emotions. Otherwise, we'll fall down. As I've seen, so many preachers have fallen down. Why? Because, okay, fine. They were following Prabhupada and Bhakti Siddhanta. But they were following superficially. They didn't follow Bhakti Siddhanta in his heart. Bhakti Siddhanta's heart is God's Bhavaji. And that's why a devotee should always have this actually split personality. Actually, Srila Prabhupada was, you see the point. People have actually portrayed Srila Prabhupada's you can hear me?
Yes, Prabhu, we can hear you.
You can hear me?
So yes.
Srila Prabhupada's whole image is portrayed in such a wrong way. I mean, say, so in the sense that we generally hear that Prabhupada was very merciful, and that Prabhupada was extremely merciful, we know, much merciful than his spiritual master. But Srila Prabhupada had actually a different side altogether to his personality also. So if you read Hari Shauri diary and Tamal Krishna Maharaj ITKG diary, you will come to know how actually Prabhupada also had this dual face. So you read Hari Shauri diary, you will come to know. So when Srila Prabhupada was in he was in Indian Hyderabad and he was giving lecture, and then the next day he came and there was all prasad lying down on the floor. So he said, what is this prasad? So they said, Prabhupada, last night after lecture, we took prasad and we forgot to clean. And Prabhupada was very angry. So Prabhupada said in Hindi, because he was in India and they were Indians, Prabhupada said, haram zado. Prabhupada said. And then he just avoided stepping on prasad and he went and sat on the seat. And then he said, what is this? You all malechas, and all the foreigners were sitting. So big Swamiji's, like Hamsadut and all this. But he said, you all malechas, you don't know this simple etiquette. You are destroying our Indian culture. And he just blasted them. So one foreigner devotee, he said, he was thinking, what should I do? You know, Prabhupada's very angry. So he took the knife from his pocket and he started cleaning the dry stuck prasad on the floor. He said, well, we should do something, you know. He started cleaning. So then Prabhupada saw and Prabhupada said, what are you doing? And he said, Prabhupada, I'm cleaning prasad. Prabhupada said, take this knife and cut your throat. Prabhupada was very, very angry. This is one of the side of Prabhupada. So we know Prabhupada could have been very angry in his at some time. So he had a different kind of mood in his heart altogether. But he expressed a different kind of attitude to help people. But in his heart, he was renounced. That's all. He didn't need anything. And he was pakka in his siddhant and whatever his concepts. And sometimes it came out. So like that. So we all have to be like that. Otherwise, we can't advance. It's impossible to advance. And that's the role of God Krishna Raja Babaji in our sampradaya. Like that. You see, we should not do anything which will give us false sense of security, false sense of care. Although we live with our families and we have our own house as congregation or as full-time, we have our own temples. But in our heart, we should think that this is not our security. This is not our care. This is all false. And we have to keep on reminding ourselves. We have to keep on hearing good devotees and keep on reminding ourselves, because the nature of this word is to actually make you forget all these things. That's how word is designed. And that's why Gaur Seva Babaji was very careful about all these things. That's how it went.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Yeah, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare
Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Go ahead, Mataji. Mataji, you can go ahead.
Okay, thank you, thank you. Hare Krishna Keshavanam Prabhuji. Thank you for the wonderful class. I just had one question in regard to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's initiation by Gaur Kishore Das Babaji. Because I once heard that Gaur Kishore Das Babaji did not want to initiate, and Bhaktisiddhanta had a kind of a unique initiation. Can you say a little something about that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, when Bhaktisiddhanta approached Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji said, Bhaktisiddhanta said, you see, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has asked me to take Diksha from you. Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, he didn't feel, by the way, he didn't feel qualified to initiate Bhaktisiddhanta. That was his mood because he didn't feel qualified even to actually take service from anybody. In fact, because he was Uttam Adhikari, he used to think, I am a servant of others. And especially this Bhaktisiddhanta, he knew Bhaktivinoda Thakur when he came to Navdeep, and he knew Bhaktivinoda Thakur is a perfected soul. And he could see Bhaktisiddhanta Bimal Prasad, that he also was a perfected soul. And he often used to call Bhaktisiddhanta and Bhaktivinoda Thakur as Gaur Nitai. He used to say, Gaur Nitai are coming. He knew. So he denied Bhaktisiddhanta. But he didn't deny it straightforward. He said, I'll ask Mahaprabhu. He just avoided giving initiation. And Bhaktisiddhanta was actually devastated. He said, well, what should I do? He went back. He came back again. He said, did you ask Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? And he said, I forgot. That was the response. He was avoiding. That's all. Bhaktisiddhanta could understand he's avoiding, and then he went back, he came back. This happened quite a few times. It is almost similar to actually Sripad Ramanuja's dealing with his own Diksha Guru. So Ramanujacharya, he went to his guru and he asked for mantra, Om Namo Narayanaya Namah. He didn't give him, he rejected him. Actually, he told, you're not qualified. He rejected him 18 times, but he was pestering. He was after him. So Bhaktisiddhanta came back again. Then after some time he came and he said, you know what? He said, Gaur Kishore Babaji, if you don't give initiation, then pran na rakhi war. I will not live. I will die. I am saying for sure. And Gaur Kishore Babaji could see the sincerity of purpose in his eyes. He already knew. And now he says, I'll die. So that's a very critical situation. And he said, Well, if you die, then that offense is on my head. I don't want to actually be your guru. By the same time, I don't want to commit a Vaishnava offense. That's very dreadful. So he was thinking, well, let me serve this Vaishnava. Let me fulfill his desire. He was not thinking, okay, now I'll give him initiation because he could die. And he's a sincere soul. I'll guide him. No, that was not the relationship between them. So he said, okay, well, I'll serve him if that's his sincere desire. He took him as his disciple, but there was no formal yagya there. He told Bhaktisiddhanta Vimal Prasad, to go and take bath in Ganges. He took bath, he came, and then in his ears, he gave him initiation. So there was no formal yagya or something like that. So what happened was, these caste Goswamis, especially Nityanand Parivar and Advait Parivar in Bengal, they said that Bhaktisiddhanta is not initiated by Bhakti Gaur Kishore Babaji because there's no yagya, there was no formal process. He just spoke the mantra in his ears and that's it. Okay, fine, you're done. But so these caste Goswamis, they were telling, well, they didn't initiate them properly. It was not according to Sat Kriya Sar Dipika or Hari Bhakti Vilas, the kind of initiation we have now. It's not like that, so we don't agree, and this blah blah blah. There was a big commotion. But at the same time, Gaur Kishore Babaji, he had just one single disciple, and who would deny the erudition of Bhaktisiddhanta? Who would like to debate with him that this is not true initiation, Bhakti Santa would have like just blasted them, all of them, by true Siddhanta. Because Bhakti Santa said, this is real initiation. This is a real Tene Brahma Hridaya Adi Kavaye. That Bhagavatam, Krishna initiated Brahma without Yajna, by the way. Right at the beginning of creation. Janma Adya Sada Annevadete Iterate Shucha Vigya Sura Tene Brahma Hridaye. Tene Brahma Hridi. Within the heart, Krishna infused knowledge in the heart of Brahma through the sound of his flute. That's all. There was no Yajna, nothing. So they did that. And Bhakti Siddhanta, then he took sannyas from Gorkhanatha Babaji's picture. Now what about that? That was quite unconventional. Nobody takes sannyas from picture. Even Mahaprabhu didn't take sannyas from picture. He went to Katwa, to Keshav Bharati, and then all those drama happened and he took initiation. Now what about Bhakti Siddhanta? He took from... So in that matter, he was quite a revolutionary person. But nobody dared to actually have a debate with him and say, well, you see, this is wrong. Because they were very afraid of Bhakti Siddhanta. Bhakti Siddhanta, Bhakti Siddhanta went to BHU and somebody opposed him that the commentary he wrote of Surya Siddhanta, there's a book Surya Siddhanta, he wrote commentary, in that there's something wrong. And Bhakti Siddhanta gave a lecture in BHU. All professors and actually HOD of the Department of Astrology was sitting there. And he was also in the opposing camp to Bhakti Siddhanta. And he was also arguing these things. Right? Bhakti Siddhanta gave a powerful lecture. And that was such powerful lecture that actually that HOD, he passed urine and stool sitting there. Can you imagine? What kind of force he would have been having. He was completely out of his nerves. And my God, this, he didn't expect such kind of answer with such a confidence, and nobody could refute him. They couldn't even think anything to refute. He's actually, he got a vago, what can we say? Vago anal reflex. He just went bonkers. He was so embarrassed. So people were very afraid to touch him. Although he was doing so unconventional things, because they knew he can actually defend himself nicely through proper Siddhanta. So that's what happened was, and that's how he got initiated. Of course, I mean to say, you see, this kind of initiation was also not necessary also, because Gaurishwarjas Babaji, he already had good relationships with Bhakti Vinoda and Bhakti Siddhanta. And I told you, Bhakti Vinoda Thakur purposefully asked Bhakti Siddhanta to take initiation from Gaurishwarjas Babaji. It was an act of also of actually defeating caste Goswamis. That was very essential, because they wanted to establish Gaudiya Math, and they wanted to establish, not just buildings of Gaudiya Math, but the Siddhanta of Gaudiya Math, which demanded defeating upper sampradaya and caste Goswamis. And this was the first step of Bhakti Siddhanta in preaching, taking initiation from Gaurishwarjas Babaji. So it's not that Bhakti Siddhanta said my ego was crushed because of Gaurishwarjas Babaji. It was a pastime, and Bhakti Siddhanta said in some humility those things. But we know actually what was Bhakti Vinod Thakur's intention. And Gaurishwarjas Babaji could understand that, why Bhakti Vinod Thakur is sending him to me. He knew for Gaurishwarjas Babaji, Bhakti Vinod Thakur was Siksha Guru. And I mean to say, Gaurishwarjas Babaji would have told, see, you are senior, so, and you are the person, and why don't you initiate? He could have easily said. But actually, what I understand is, he understood what is the intention of Bhakti Vinod Thakur in all this kind of pastime. And then he did. He gave him. That's all. That's what I see.
Thank you, Prabhuji. I just have one other quick question. Were there any? Did anyone else take initiation from Gaur Kishore Das Babaji? Did he have any disciples?
Nobody.
Okay.
Gaurishwarjas Babaji, he didn't give anybody initiation. Actually, he used to just say, get out from me. That's all. You're a soul devotee. Like that.
Okay. Thank you again. And thank you for the class. It was wonderful.
Okay, so who is asking? When Mataji wanted to ask, no, somebody?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Dandot pranams Prabhuji. Very, very nice class. So,
oh, Lalitangi Mataji, after a long time, you are there.
Yeah,
I don't get to hear your
voice. Yeah, with the kids like getting ready for the school, couldn't ask you questions, Prabhuji. Now today is a holiday. So thank you, Prabhuji, for that very beautiful class. And so the question is on Vairagya. And so since the shloka from Bhagavatam says that Jana Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janayatyasu Vairagyam Jnanam Chayada Haitukam. But Vairagya looks like, a part of Bhakti. Or what is this? The shloka is, I understand that if Bhakti is practiced, then Jnana and Vairagya automatically follow. And we also have that story where Bhakti is young, but Jnana and Vairagya, the sons are old.
Mm-hmm.
And so what is the exact link? Can Bhakti be, is independent of Jnana and Vairagya? Or how are they linked?
Okay, I understand your question. Yeah. You see the point, it has to be understood very carefully because generally, as you said, Janayatyasu Vairagyam Jnanam Chayada Haitukam. Devotees have this conception that from bhakti, vairagya and jnana will automatically manifest. And on this plea, many of people in Vrindavan, they become sahajas because jnana has to come from bhakti and vairagya from bhakti. So let's do bhakti. Then what is bhakti? Bhakti is simply chanting and dancing and prasad, and that's it. And this very point, Bhakti Siddhanta devoted his whole life fighting this fact. You see, and that's why Bhakti Siddhanta, he was printing books. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was writing books. And what were Goswamis doing? They were actually preparing deep philosophical literatures, and not in Vraj Bhasha, by the way. And not even in Bengali. Of course, Bengali was, of course, no choice there. They could have written their books in Vraj Bhasha as Vallabh Sampradaya were writing. Vallabh Sampradaya wrote their books in Vraj Bhasha because people knew in North India and they could have preached. Actually, their Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhant would have actually spread widely if they would have actually chosen to write in Vraj Bhasha, but they didn't do. They wrote in Sanskrit, classical scholarly language which only few people can understand. They wrote and what happened? Vallabh Sampradaya actually spread like fire. And even today, if you go to Vrindavan, people are singing Surdas songs, Mirabai songs, which were in colloquial language. And what happened with Gaudiya Vaishnavism? As we thought, because they wrote in Sanskrit, nobody could understand, it just vanished. And later Vishwanath Chakravarti, Baldev Vidyabhushan, Hemlata Thakurani, Krishna Thakurani, they came on the scene. The second wave of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, the first wave, Shad Goswami, second wave, and they again revived everything back. So the question is why they were doing all these things if jnana has to come from bhakti. That's the whole point. Because the verse says jnana and vairagya will actually arise spontaneously from bhakti, then are they wasting the time? Nana shas vichara anayka vipunnao, are they wasting time? So we have to understand in proper light. So how to understand this is? Well, there are two ways to understand this. Now, one way is from bhakti comes jnana and vairagya, but there are two types of jnana and two types of vairagya. Now, one type of jnana is paroksha jnana, and another type of jnana is aparoksha jnana. Similarly with Bhakt Vairagya, Paroksha Vairagya and Aparoksha Vairagya. Or other terms are used in scriptures, or it is said Jat Jnana and Ajat Jnana. Jat Vairagya, Ajat Vairagya. Like this, there are various terms used in scripture. So there are two levels of Jnana, two levels of Vairagya. Now what are these? Now, Paroksh Jnana or Paroksh Vairagya is that kind of Vairagya, that kind of Jnana, which is actually produced by reading scriptures. Now you read scriptures, now we read Prabhupada books, so we are taking knowledge. So that is Paroksh. Paroksh means scripture. Aksha means sense perception, Para means other. Other means what? Scriptures, which is coming from Sampradaya and scriptures. So that is Paroksh Jnana. Paroksh Vairagya means our scriptures order us, okay, bhal na khao, bhal na porebo, no illicit sex, no gambling, for example, four regulatory principles, don't do sense gratification. This is Paroksh Vairagya. We are doing on orders, we are taking scriptures. And that, and the other level is Aparoksh Jnana, Aparoksh Vairagya. That so aparoksha means which is coming from your soul, or this is also called Jat Vairagya, Jat Agyan, which is born of your soul. So Paroksh Jnana, Paroksh Vairagya is Ajat, which is not born from you, which is born from scriptures, from the orders of scriptures, from the orders of Sampradaya. But this is born from your soul. Now you have realized, this Jnana is realized in you. That is a Paroksh Jnana. And Vairagya is realized, it is coming spontaneously from you in lieu of your attachment to Krishna. So that is born from your soul. That is Jat. So these are two levels. Aparokshyan, aparoksh vairagya. So what this verse is saying, Vasudeva Bhagavati, Bhagavad Bhakti Yogita, Janyati Ashu Vairagyam, Jnanam Chattat, Ahitukam. This is the point there. This verse is referring to Aparoksh Jnana and Aparoksh Vairagya. Bhakti, from Bhakti what is born? Aparoksh Jnana and Aparoksh Vairagya. But when we are practicing Bhakti, we have to take assistance of Paroksha Jnana and Paroksha Vairagya. That assistance we need. Because if we don't take that assistance, then our Bhakti becomes sentimental. That's one way to see this verse, to understand connection. Another way to understand connection in Gaudiya Vaishnava language, this is the language of Madhva Sampradaya. In a Gaudiya Vaishnava language, we agree from Bhakti, Jnana and Vairagya produced. We agree that fact. That's very, very perfectly, because sadhana is Bhakti. And from Bhakti comes Jnana and Vairagya. But there is another verse. Anukulasya Sankalpa Pratikulasya Varjanam. Whatever is favorable to Bhakti, we take. What is unfavorable, we leave. So what is favorable? Reading books is favorable. Understanding knowledge is favorable. And what is favorable? Vairagya. Detachment from this material world. Otherwise, our mind will be polluted. We have to follow certain rules of denial. Self-denial we have to do. That is favorable. So we accept Jnana and Vairagya as anukul, but not as sadhana. This verse is about sadhana. As far as sadhana goes, Bhakti is sadhana. And from that, Vairagya and Jnana produce. Vairagya and Jnana are not sadhana. From sadhana perspective, this is spoken. But at the same time, from anukul perspective, Jnana and Vairagya can become anukul to bhakti sadhana. That's another issue, which is not subject matter of this verse. And so that is where the role of Jnana and Vairagya comes, as anukul, but not as sadhana. So then everything harmonizes nicely. So first, initially, Vairagya Jnana becomes anukul to bhakti as sadhana. Which is bhakti, which is sadhana. And when we keep on following, which Mahaprabhu says, Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga. We keep on doing bhakti yoga and Vairagya Vidya we take as anukul. Then when bhakti matures and we get realizations, then from that bhakti comes this aparoksh jnana and vairagya, which is spontaneous. In a Gaudiya Vaishnava language, spontaneous knowledge and spontaneous renunciation. But before that, we have to practice it, which is not spontaneous, just as favorable to help us advance in devotional service. But we should not consider Jnana and Vairagya as a part of a sadhana. That's not a good idea. That's not main thing is chanting holy names, Shravan and Kirtan, and this will assist us like that. So I think, I think this makes clear.
Yeah, yeah, very, very nice, Prabhuji. Anukul and Sadhana and Paroksh and Aparoksh. This makes it very clear. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Yeah.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dhanyavad Pranam. Thank you for the wonderful class. Prabhuji, when Bhakti Siddhanta took the initiation from God Kishordas Babaji, which mantra was he initiated into? Gayatri? Because for Prabhupada, we hear that for him it was Gayatri and the first and the second was together. For Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, which
one? Same Gayatri only. Gayatri only, Kam Gayatri. Same.
Okay.
Kam Gayatri. But for Bhakti Siddhanta and God Kishordas, this Kam Gayatri and all this were not actually important. It was absolutely not, because main thing is Hare Krishna. This was just a formality. That's all. Because Hare Krishna is everything. This Gayatri and all this is just for deity worship. It's a Pancharatrik Vidhi. And it's not even required. I mean, Gopal Mantra, generally Gadadhar Pandit, he was initiated in Gopal Mantra. Why? Because he had to do deity worship. If you're not doing deity worship, then this is even not required, this kind of thing. So then they get initiated in Hare Krishna. They say chant Hare Krishna, and they chant just like we get initiation. So Varshava, you say, okay, chant Hare Krishna plus this Gopal mantra. So you got both of them together. He was anyway chanting Hare Krishna, so there was no need to tell him. So he just gave him as a formality, no, not required. Generally, devotees think Brahman initiation, that's higher, second initiation, that's higher than first. It's a wrong understanding. Second means second, am I right? First is first. First is higher than second. That's obvious. So people think, oh, no, Hare Krishna is complete. That's all. If you want to do deity worship, then take. Otherwise, no need. What's the point?
Deity worship as in a temple, Prabhuji?
Yeah, a temple or a house. If you want to do deity worship, you must be initiated, Brahman initiated. Otherwise, you can't just do deity worship like dolls.
In a recent Prabhupada memories, Kishori Mataji, she was saying that Prabhupada, I don't know if what is the rule now, that Prabhupada was saying that he never said Gopal initiation, Gopal mantra initiation is important. So Kishori Mataji was saying that that's what Prabhupada was letting everybody know.
So I think she was saying the same thing. No, it's not important.
She said, I mean, the story goes like that. It's there on YouTube. Kishori Mataji was saying that Yamuna Mataji got to know that, you know, for deity worship, you need Gopal mantra initiation.
Srila Prabhupada said it's not.
Yeah, and then she let every president know in all the temple over the world. And then Srila Prabhupada got really upset over the matter. And Prabhupada asked Yamuna Mataji to write the letter back saying that it is not needed or something like that. Like, you know, refuting the first letter saying that it is not needed. That's what Kishori Mataji was saying.
Well, I think some research has to be done because DT worship always requires certain rules and regulations. So I think some research is required in that. What was exactly the incidence and what? But now, anyway, now presently, every pujari requires Brahman initiation, am I right? Everybody, yes. At least in temples. So why not in your house? Because to do DT worship, you have to do Achman, you have to do certain kind of mudras without. Brahman thread, without Gayatri, you can't do that. All these Avahan and all these things. If proper deity worship has to be done. So it's good to have like that.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna. Dhanyavad Pranam.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dhanyavad Pranam. Thank you so much for the beautiful class. Is there anybody having any more questions for Prabhuji? Okay. If there are no more questions, we can end the call here. I would like to offer obeisances to Prabhuji and all the Vaishnavas assembled on the Pancha Kalpa Tarubhyasya Kripa Sindhu Pya Vichitana Pavadeshu Vaishnavibhyo Namo Nama Ananta Koti Vaishnavrindiki Jai Srila Prabhupada Jai Keshavananda Prabhu. Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
It's already 8 o'clock, so we are not having today parikrama because it's 8 o'clock. So we will continue tomorrow, today's part also. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining today's class. Hare Krishna. We are ending the call.